correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me at Jupiter Pizza and Waffles Company in the heart of downtown Sugar Land, Texas. We'll meet up with the passionate culinary duo, brothers-in-law Victor Litwinenko and Robert White. Born and raised in Venezuela, when they emigrated to America, they brought with them a South American flair that was added to their eclectic and sometimes daring, but definitely most addictive cuisine. Come along and join the conversation with Robert and Victor at Jupiter Pizza and Waffles, hunkered front row center in Sugar Land's Town Square Park.
It's Saturday night, you'll swear Bob Wills is still alive. The German folks still love to sing the Cherry Spring Swing.
Victor Litwinenko and Robert White here in the patio of Jupiter Pizza Waffles.
And this is your place, right?
Yes, this is our place, one of three that we have here in Town Square.
How did this start for you guys?
We started 2000, was it 1999 or 2000? 2001. Small place in New Territory here in Sugar Land. Sasu is a sushi restaurant. It was his idea to do sushi. And really, at the time, sushi was not popular at all. It was a pretty weird thing to try to mention to people.
So introduce yourself and tell us why you decided to take that gamble.
I'm Robert White, and I am Victor's brother-in-law. In the late 90s, we were in Venezuela. That's where we're from. There were some political changes. And in 1999, we decided to leave and come to the United States. We came to Sugar Land because Victor's parents and one of my sisters were already here. We didn't know what we were going to do. Had little money, no plans. My wife was pregnant. So we actually saw this space for lease in New Territory. And the number on the address were the first four letters of my daughter's name. And I say, this is a sign. So we say, you know what? Let's lease this space. We both like sushi a lot. Didn't know anything about restaurants. And we just took a leap.
But you did this at a time when sushi was not trending.
It was not. Around here, they used to call it a bait shop.
But you took the risk. Did you create a momentum and a following?
We were very lucky, and I think that is one of the amazing features of our small city, this area, is that the community will back you up and support you and be very patient while you go through your learning curve, you know, screwing up all kinds of different ways, and they stuck around. Mm-hmm. So we were able to survive those critical couple of years.
Can you remember an oh my God mistake, or why did we do that?
Oh, for sure. I mean, we had no money to install a proper vent hood initially. So, you know, one day we got too many people coming in. It had too much stuff in the makeshift stove. It was like a, you know, an electric stove. Everything was just pretty messy. And the whole restaurant got smoked. And people were crying. I mean, their eyes were crying. And we just had to open the doors. And we were kind of fanning smoke out. And so that kind of thing happened quite often until we started fixing things and getting there. But, we've made some terrible, I mean, we mistaked salt for sugar in the recipe. That was interesting. So a lot of people here were very patient. Now, back then, if you lived in Sugar Land and you wanted to go out on a Friday night and have a drink somewhere, there was only one bar.
Wow. In the whole town?
In the whole town. Oh. It was grandfathered in Pennington's. It's still there. So we offered liquor, and you know, that was a big factor for us to stick around. And so people were able to come, hang out, have a drink, not drive into Houston, you know, 30 miles.
So at some point, you guys built up a momentum and you realized somehow you could pull off a second restaurant. How did that happen?
So one thing we did realize, space being too small at Sasu, no hood, just the kitchen couldn't handle if we wanted to expand the menu. So all we could do was sushi. But we also noticed, because sushi wasn't that popular at the time, it was hard for two couples, the both parents, to both like sushi. So we noticed one would come in, love the sushi, order everything, and the other person, the spouse or the husband or the wife, would kind of sit there and, you know, look bored. So we realized, okay, if we want to expand and get a bigger market, we have to provide options for both people and the kids. So we heard about this development in Sugarland Town Square. We figured this is going to be downtown, basically, so that's where we need to go. And we had the ability to get a bigger space, start from scratch, build the kitchen the way we wanted it to be or the way we needed it to be. Mm-hmm. And we took that gamble. At first, I know he fought a lot because they wanted a better known name to come into Town Square. They were trying to attract the bigger sushi guys. And yeah, we fought for that.
The only reason we're here is because in 2001, there was a big crash in the economy and a huge market crash. It was the dot-com bubble burst and they couldn't find anyone to lease the spaces here. So if that didn't happen, we wouldn't be here, you know. And so for Japaneros, we got probably what at the time it was the worst, you know, lowest level space, tucked away from the plaza and all that kind of stuff. And I guess they said, all right, let's give these guys a shot, which it was great. I don't blame them. We had no history, you know, no financial backup or anything like that. So they actually took a leap, but it was mostly because of that. Mm-hmm. Otherwise.
So here you are. They said, yeah, go for it. Now what? How did you model your second restaurant?
So that year, we signed the lease in 2002, and I found out that my mother was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer that year, and we had no health insurance. So most of our money went out to treat that, and we built Japaneros out with very little money and a lot of ingenuity. Got a couple of guys, did everything ourselves, found materials that were, you know, overstock from some other projects around the city. And so what you see there was built with very little resources. So the reason the menu looks the way it looks is because we had learned all about sushi up to this point, and the only other cuisine we were familiar with was our Venezuelan South American cuisine. So it made sense to just do that.
And that's the other half of the name, right?
Exactly. And so we went with that, which was at a time something very strange. Somehow it worked. It clicked. People received it well. And we had a bar with full liquor, and that helped quite a bit because there were very few bars still at that time.
You evolved from just doing sushi to the Venezuelan cuisine. Is there a signature Venezuelan dish that you could not ever take off the menu?
For the name, you had asked earlier how we came up with the name. We wanted people to, by seeing the name or pronouncing the name, it needed to have a little bit of a South American flair or sound to it. We threw a lot of ideas together. Venezuela, we already were looking at two things that people didn't know much about, sushi and Venezuelan food. So we couldn't really call it, you know, some city in Venezuela or something like that. People would not recognize it. We thought of like Rio de Janeiro is like very popular city. So how do we get Japan and Rio de Janeiro in the same thing? So we started playing with those, you know, all the letters. That's how you ended up with Japaneros. And that one good thing about doing fusion or that style is it really lets you open the menu to any kind of idea, whether it's crazy or very traditional. So originally we wanted, you know, traditional sushi, traditional South American food in general, not so specific to Venezuela, but like churrascos, that, you know, steaks, things like that, and then play in the middle. So, you know, we'll put steak on sushi, which probably blasphemy at the time when we were doing that. But people really enjoyed it. You know, it's fun to play around. It's fun to let them taste something different they've never had before. And we sort of felt like parents to them. It's like, you know, oh, I don't like this. Like, well, have you tried this? Like, eat your vegetables. You don't know you don't like it until you try it. So people were willing to try it. And everybody from Sasu came over. They always asked us about it. They came, and during construction, they would stop in. Like, we had a good, really core following of people that supported us throughout. And we always think we know what we're doing when we start the menu, but once you give it to the guests, they start, you know, kind of changing things, asking for this. When they order a plate, we notice they would always change something for something else. So it really starts developing into what our customers want. And that's what the menu is now. A lot of our roles have been made up by guests or employees, things that people like, we notice, you know, then we put them on the menu. So we only give you a small core, and then it grows from there.
Again, a signature dish today.
I would say, I mean, on the kitchen side, yeah, you have the encebollado, which is steak with caramelized onions. The churrasco has always been very popular for us. That's something people recognize, that dish already. So that was important for us to have something like that. The sasu is a roll where it's deep fried tempura with unagi sauce. So it had like a sweetness to it. Salmon and the unagi sauce gives it a little sweetness. That was one of our first like wild inventions, really. And that became super popular. And then we just went from there.
So today you have three restaurants?
Yes, three restaurants, one other concept that's working. It's in the works.
So it's not open right now?
It's not open, yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Reiterate what restaurants you have open today.
Yeah, so about 5 years after Japaneros opened, space became available here in the town square. It was a former bar, and we were offered to lease the space by the landlord.
Did you get the liquor license?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So we opened Guru, burgers and crepes, and back then, the craft burger and local beer wave wasn't developed yet. There was only one other place in Houston called the Burger Guys who were doing very exotic burgers and serving craft beer and so on. So we were very early on that wave. So yeah, that was Guru, and actually next week it'll be its 10th anniversary. No, so it was 10 years after Japaneros.
Now, because Japaneros would be 19 this year, so I guess 8 or 9 years after Japaneros.
Yes, almost 10 years after Japaneros, my mistake, yeah.
And where are they? They're both located side by
They're
side?
They're actually both on the same road, but yeah, a few blocks from one another, uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, and so
you guys have to do a lot of running down the sidewalk.
Right, right. And keeping up with Japaneros' double take on the offering, this was burgers and crepes originally. So yeah, this week it'll be our 10th anniversary.
How
and
did you do through the depths of COVID?
COVID was tricky. The initial weeks were very, very scary, and we didn't know what to think or how to act. So I think we were the first operator this side of town who decided to go 100% takeout, and we took our cue from the rodeo. When we heard the rodeo was trimming down, we said, okay, this is for real, let's just go ahead and shut down. I'll pass it to Victor so he can talk about that.
Actually, we were interviewed for a radio station during COVID at the very beginning of it, and we told the radio station our plans to close to be pickup only, and nobody had done that yet, so they thought it was crazy. 3 days later, they forced every restaurant to do it that way. So at that time, it was such a new concept that having a three-day advantage on them was huge for us. We had the phone system set up. We had the employees already scheduled. Everybody was scrambling. We had 3 days of experience, which doesn't seem like much, but in that time, it's infinity more than everybody else. And that's where, to me, the Sugar Land way That's where that comes in. The community supported us so much during that time. It became the Eat Local, Support Local, which is our slogan for Guru, literally became the thing at that time. Everybody came in, they ordered food. Even if they didn't want to eat, they would just come in, try to support your local restaurants, try to support your local businesses. And then that led us to the money that was coming in from that. We were able to keep people on staff, and then we would donate some food to the hospitals, the police department, the fire departments. Target, I have to give them credit, this local Target right here. Probably over 10 times he ordered for the whole staff, because supermarkets were doing an amazing job then. It was really the only place you could go. So they were killing it. And he knew he needed to support the community. He ordered for his whole staff pizza, I would say probably 20 times. And these are not, you know, three pizzas. 40, 50, 60 pizzas we were delivering over there. And again, from that money, then we did more for the hospitals, more for the police department. We became our own ecosystem of support.
Looking forward, hopes and dreams, visions, where would you like to go? Perfect world.
We never say never. And we don't want to create boundaries to what we can do. I know plant-based, I'll let him talk about that. That's a huge market that we want to look at. But even the design of the restaurants need to change to accommodate. A lot more people do drive-throughs. A lot more people do pickups. Now you have Uber Eats. So we're integrating all that into the way we look at the space. But I'll let him on the plant stuff. I mean, that's a new universe for us.
We want to stay local and small as long as possible. We don't have big dreams of having, you know, tens of units and so on and so forth. We do want to pursue things that we believe in, the core values that we hold dear. Among those is expanding our current menus, of offering more sustainably sourced menu items. Our next concept is a fully plant-based restaurant, and we are committed to making that concept as popular as possible to create awareness of that.
Would that imply another standalone restaurant?
Yes.
Okay. And the name, working title, name for the restaurant would be?
Would be Bee Planted.
There you go.
Yes.
Any vision on when it might open?
Early summer next year, 2023.
So to learn more about your guys' world, go to website.
People can Google us. You can look up Jupiter Pizza and Waffles or Guru Burgers or Japanados and learn all about what we do.
Very, very cool. So you guys are never bored, huh?
Rarely.
Website?
Our websites are japanero.net. The easiest way is to Google Japanados or Jupiter Pizza and Waffle or Guru, and you'll see all the different options. You can order online, you can click onto the website, order curbside pickup. And my name is Robert White.
I'm Victor Litwinenko.
And my name is Tom Wilmer, reporting from Sugarland, Texas. Away from me, way down in
Louisiana. You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station. Young to marry. Take me back to Texas. I'm too young to marry. We'll be right back.
to the railroad and I laid my head down on the track. I thought about that gal of mine, gradually eased it back. Take me back to Texas, I'm too young to marry. Take me back to Texas, I'm too young to marry. Travel all around this country, music by the hour. Always wear this great big smile, we never do look sour. Take me back to Texas, I'm too young to marry. Take me back to Texas, I'm too young to marry. Take me back to Texas, I'm too young to marry. Take me back to Texas, I'm too young to marry. Otra. Vamos. One and a two and a one, two, three. Talk Susie, walk and talk Susie, walk and talk Susie. Take me back to Texas, I'm too young to marry. Take me back to Texas, I'm too young to marry. Come on, take me back to Texas, I'm too young to marry. Take me back to Texas, I'm too young to marry.